This morning, I'm going to tell you a way to stay healthy. I'm going to help you save some money on your doctor bills, on your prescription bills, and on your psychiatrist and psychologist bills. If you'll listen this morning, I'm going to help you do all that. I'm going to use just one verse, just one part of one of the verses that Walt read a minute ago, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, where the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." That's the subject, or that's the title, the subject and the title of my message this morning, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And I've done some a little study from a book that I've been reading this week, and it gives several illustrations of this truth. Doctors today say that 90% of their patients have nothing wrong with them physically, but what they're treating is psychological illness. And many of them say that the other 10% who do have physical ills, something physically wrong with them, that a large percent of that was started or created or made to come about because of something that happened or the way that person thought in their mind. Now you say, why is that? Why is it that most people that are sick are psychologically sick, are sick because of something that happens in their mind as opposed to their bodies? Because they haven't learned the truth that's in God's Word, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." I read this week about Frederick II, who ruled Sicily back in the 13th century. And he had an idea one day. He says, I wonder what language children would speak if nobody spoke to them. I mean, would English people speak English if when they were a baby nobody spoke English to them? Would Italian people speak Italian if when they were a baby nobody spoke Italian to them? And so what Frederick did is he set up a foster home. And he brought young babies into this home, and he put them in this home. And the foster parents in this home would take care of the little bitty babies, and they would feed them and meet their physical needs, but they were not to speak one word to them. Now stop and think about it. These were just little babies that were born. And he brought them into this foster home. They were fed, they were clothed, they were changed. I thought about what was that? I thought about a good sign for a nursery over the nursery door. I was reading 2 Thessalonians. "We shall not all be fed, but we shall all be changed." Something like that. I have to think about that again. But in this foster home, he had the babies cared for. They were fed, but not one word was spoken unto them. And 90% of them died before they reached 1 year old. Why? Because Frederick didn't know this verse, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." In 1915, John Hopkins, the great medical school, did a study. They wanted to determine what impact a person's environment would have on them. And so they did a study where they took some orphans and they put them into good homes where there was joy, where people got along. And then they took some orphans and they put them into homes where there was fighting and fussing and all sorts of strife. And they came back and they wanted to do a study and find out what impact a good home, a merry home, a cheerful home would have on those children, and what impact a home that was full of strife and full of fussing would have on those children. And they came back, and at the end of 1 year, 90% of the children, now these were not little babies, but these were children from 1 and 2 years old up until 13, 90% of the children that had been put into these kind of homes that was filled with fighting and fussing and strife, no love, no cheer, no joy, died within 1 year. They didn't know this verse, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." After World War II, in Germany, with all the orphans that were in Germany, two orphanages were set up, really to determine the same sort of thing. Another study. Two orphanages were set up. On one orphanage, they put 50 children, and the other orphanage, they put another 50 children. In this orphanage, in the two orphanages, everything was the same. They had the same diet, the same kind of rooms, the same exercise program. and in both of them, no difference between the two. They ate the same, they wore the same, they exercised the same, they stayed in the same environment. The only thing that was different was that over here they put foster parents that were cheerful and full of joy, full of love, and over here they had harsh, disciplinarian kind of foster parents, and they came back and they studied these two groups of children after a year. In the happy home, they found the children taller, they found them heavier, they found them more intelligent. Over in this home, there was more sickness and more illness. And why? What was the difference? They did not know this truth that came from the book of Proverbs: a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now listen, the Bible is the Word of God, and in it, God is revealed to us. But it's also a history book. You want to know history? You read this book. It's also a book of science. And my dear friend, it's also a book of medicine. And that one little verse, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine," can change your life, can save you on doctor bills, can save you from illness, if you'll just grab hold of it and learn what it is to be merry. A merry heart, a cheerful heart, a joyful heart is good for you, not only for your spirit, but for your body. It does good for you like a medicine. You know, that's why we try to have so much fun around here. I mean, now look, we're serious. We're serious when it comes to salvation and when it comes to keeping people out of hell and getting them into heaven. We're serious about that. We're serious when it comes to preaching that Christians should live for God and live up to the calling that God's called them to be Christ-like. But look, God did not intend for the Christian life to be a life of drudgery, a life of sadness, a life with no joy, no cheer, no smiling, no laughing. He did not intend for it to be that. I believe that God's got a sense of humor. I believe that God sometimes up in heaven, when He looks down at what we're into, He just rears back and goes, He just has a good laugh. I mean, I know that God has a sense of humor. I can look out and I can see some of His creations. And I know that He must have had a sense of humor. And He knows, because He put this verse in the Bible, that it's good for us to have cheer, to be happy. It's like a medicine. You know, I feel sorry for people that go to a ritualistic church. I mean, they talk about God, and they sing holy, holy, and they never sing "What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine." They never sing songs, Brother Wendell, like "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," "Floods of Joy Over My Soul," like the sea billows roll, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." They go to a church where nobody ever laughs. They go to a church where they never get to stand up and shake hands and say howdy to one another and good morning, glad you're here. They go to a church where they never get to hear the preacher tell a joke. And I know some of you wish that I'd tell better ones, but I'm doing the best that I can. But they go to a church where they don't have ushers like Brother Larry and Brother Dave. I mean, if we don't have anything else to be cheerful and laugh about, we can turn around and look at our ushers and be cheering. I mean, they go to a place that never have Valentine parties or hobo parties or big dinners where they never have a chance to be merry and to be cheer. Now look, the world is a sad enough place on its own. Church, this, when we get together as Christians, and we try to encourage one another, and we try to stir one another up, one of the ways we ought to do that is to be happy, and to be cheerful, and to smile, and to laugh. You say, "Preacher, how do I get that cheer? The world is a depressing place. I do have problems. I do have trials. I do have worries. How can I get that merriment? How can I keep that cheer?" Well, this morning I'm going to tell you. Because God not only tells us that having a merry heart is good for us, He tells us how to get that merry heart. Jesus, three times in the Bible, Jesus says these words. You guys be still. He says these words, "Be of good cheer." Be, and that word cheer means same thing as merry. Jesus says on three occasions, "Be of good cheer." And what I'd like to do for the next few minutes, I'd like to look at those three times. Because I think it's within those three times that tell us how we can have a merry heart that doeth good like a medicine. First one's in Matthew chapter 9. And you needn't turn to it. Let me just tell you what's going on. Jesus had just come into Nazareth. his hometown, place where he worked in a carpenter shop. And in verse 2, the Bible says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." Thy sins are forgiven thee. You want to know how to have a happy heart this morning? You want to know how to be merry amid the trials and the burdens and the worries that you have in this world? Get your sins forgiven. Get your sins forgiven. You can have a merry heart if you'll get your sins forgiven. You say, "Brother Darrell, how do I do that?" Well, it's not by joining the church. It's not by going to confession. It's not by getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper. It's not by turning over a new leaf or living a good life. That's not how you get your sins forgiven. You get your sins forgiven by, first of all, realizing that you're a sinner. Then you realize that you on your own can't pay for those sins. You can't make up to God for those sins that you created. And then you understand that when Jesus went to the cross and he died on that cross, like Shannon sung about a moment ago, he was not dying for any of his sins. He was dying for your sins. And he was dying for my sins. And then you come with faith to God and to Jesus, and your faith says, "Jesus, I believe when you died on that cross that you were dying for me." And your faith makes contact with God, and when that happens, Jesus says, "Father, take all the sins that person has committed, wipe them off his account, and put them on my account." And that's exactly what happened to you that are here this morning when you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior. That's exactly what happened. God took every sin that was already on your record. Not only that, he took every sin in his foreknowledge that he knew you were going to create in the future. And God wiped them off your record and he put them on the record of Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for those sins. Now that ought to make us merry. I mean, if we don't have anything else to smile about, we ought to be able to smile about that. Now, let me illustrate. Let me tell you, and this ought to get you excited. I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. But I'll confess to you this morning, we were talking about it in Sunday school class, I'm still a sinner. I still let my old nature take control sometimes, and I do things that I should not do as a Christian. But my dear friends, those sins that I commit after I've been saved, those sins that I commit now, are not recorded on my record in heaven. It's like this. Let's say that Walt and I, and for sake of this story, let's say that Walt's not saved. Now, since I'm telling the story, I get to have the good part. I'm saved, Walt's not. And we leave out of here, and we drive down here to Saginaw Street, and I'm stopped at the light in my car, and Walt pulls up beside me. And I look over at Walt. Walt looks over at me. I gun my pedal, rum, rum, rum. Walt guns his pedal, rum, rum, rum. And that light, it is red, and it just begins to turn green, and we both put our foot on the wheel, and just as we're about to take off, here comes this guy right in front of us running the red light, and I slam on my brake and swerve over this way, and Walt slams on his brake and swerves over this way, and we both say, "That stupid blankety blank blank blank, he could have killed us." Now what happens? Up in heaven, God, who knows all about us, says, "Recording angel, old Walt just said a dirty word. Put that on his record." And the angel says, "Just a minute, I've got to get another piece of paper." And he gets another piece of paper, and he writes on Walt's record the date and says, "Said another dirty word." And the recording angel says to God, "Well, what about old Manning? He said the same word. Should I put that on his record?" And and God says, "No, don't put it on Manning's record." And the recording angel says, "Why not? I mean, old Walt said that word, and we put it on his record. Old Manning said the same word. Are you partial to Manning and not old Walt?" And God says, "No, I'm not partial." And the angel says, "Well, Manning says the same word. I'm going to put it on his record." And Jesus steps in and says to the recording angel, "Don't you put it on Manning's record. You put it on my record. Write it down on my account." And that's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, "Blessed, happy, excited, contented, cheerful is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And my dear friend, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, when you sin up in heaven, the recording angel can't put it on your account because Jesus steps up and he says, put that on my account. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. That makes me want to clap my hands and shout and jump up for joy. Many people are unhappy today and making themselves physically sick because they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to get their sins forgiven some other way. 600 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, there was a flood. And you remember a man named Noah. For 120 years, he worked on a boat. He built a great ark. And a few days before it started to rain, God said, all right, Noah, get your family on the ark. And so Noah stood at the top of the gangplank, and he said to his wife, honey, come on in the boat. It was about to flood. Get inside. He said to Ham, you bring your wife, and you get in the boat. He said to Japheth, you bring your wife, and you get in the boat. He said to Shem, you bring your wife, and get inside the boat. And they got inside the boat, and they closed the door, and the floods came, and the storm raged. But inside the boat, I think they were having a party. They were cheerful, full of joy. Why? Because they were in safety inside the boat. Many people, and some of you here this morning are like this, you tell the story a different way. You tell the story that 6,000 years ago, Noah built an ark. And a few days before it began to rain, he went over and he drove 8 nails in the side of the ark. And just about, and as it was beginning to rain, he called his wife, honey, come grab you a nail. He called Ham and his wife, you two come grab you a nail. And Japheth and Shem the same way. And as the floods came and as the rain came and the floods came, here's old Noah outside of the boat in this storm, rocking and rolling all around. And he says, bless God, I'm hanging on. The storms may come, but I'm hanging on. Now, do you think that he was very... and that's not the way the story goes. But my dear friend, I can be happy inside of the boat, out here on the storm. How long can I hang on? How long can I smile as the waters beat me against the ark? And that's exactly... a lot of people today are trying to work their way to heaven. They think they've got to hang on. No wonder they're sick. No wonder they're worried. No wonder they never smile and never laugh. The happiest place to be is inside the boat. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, quit trying to hang on to the nail on the outside and get in. Get in. Get your sins forgiven. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven thee. There was a second time Jesus said those words. Matthew chapter 14. The disciples were in a boat in the middle of a storm. And that boat was going back and forth and rocking in and weaving. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And he says this, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know how you can have a happy heart this morning? Number two, realize that every storm that you're in as a Christian, Jesus is there with you. He's there with you. Now, I know many of you this morning, you're in a storm. You're in a storm of discouragement. You're discouraged and you're about to give up. You're about to quit. Many of you are this morning, you're in a storm of some physical illness. You've got a health problem. I mean, there's something that's wrong with you physically that just will not go away, will not be cured. Maybe you face the storm of unemployment. Maybe your family is about to break up and there's strife and stress in the home. And as I've said many times to you, God never promises us that we'll not go through the storm. He never promises us in this book that I'll make your life as a Christian storm-free. No promise like that in all 66 books, in any of them. But over and over again in this book, God promises us, when the storms come, I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. Now, that'll make us smile. Yes, it's not a joy going through the storm, but it's a joy having Jesus close to you. If it's a joy feeling your hand in His. It's a joy feeling His arms wrapped around you when the storms come. It's a joy sometimes when you feel Him lifting you up and carrying you when the rough ones really come. We sing that little song, He is able to deliver thee. He is. There's no storm so tough that you and Jesus can't make it through. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When did they enjoy their sweetest fellowship with God? In the furnace. That's right. In the furnace. I mean, they stood before the king. The king says, you bow down to this statue, to this God, or you're going into the furnace. And they said, dear God, or dear king, we're not going to do it. Our God can save us if he wants to, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and deny him. And the old king threw him in the furnace, and you remember, they looked in, and they saw four. They threw three in, but they saw four of them walking around. And the old heathen king says, and the fourth one is the image of the Son of God. And the sweetest fellowship that they enjoyed was when they were in the storm. And my dear friend, some of the sweetest fellowship that we know with our Savior is when the storms come. When discouragement comes, and when financial problems come, and when relationship problems come, and the worries, and the trials. Some of the sweetest fellowship we have, that's when it comes. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be happy. Smile. Laugh. For I'll go with you in the storms. And then there's a third time that Jesus said it. John chapter 16, he was talking to his disciples. He had just finished telling them about all the things that he was going to go through. About the trial, about the beatings, about the crucifixion, about his death. And he says in verse 33, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He was saying to his disciples, now you're going to see me getting whipped. You're going to see the soldiers as they slap me and as they spit on me. You're going to see them as they place that crown of thorns on my head. You're going to see them as they pluck the beard out of my face. You're going to see me nailed to the cross. He says, you're going to see me suffer. You're going to see me bleed. You're going to see me die. But Jesus said to his disciples, you be of good cheer. You keep smiling. You keep being happy. I have overcome the world. And what he was saying, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. The grave will hold me for 3 days, but not any longer than that. I'm on my way back to heaven. I think he was saying the same thing in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, when he says, rejoice not that the spirits be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It may seem today that the world's winning. It may seem today that Satan has the upper hand. It may seem today that all is lost and that our cause for Christ is not going forward. But I got some news for you this morning. I've read the last couple chapters in this book, and they're not going to win. Satan and all his devils are going to be cast into hell, bound eternally forever. And we can rejoice because even though it may seem that they're winning today, even though that it may seem that they have the upper hand today, in the end, our names are written in heaven, and we're going to heaven to live with God forever. That verse that says, Luke 10, verse 20, says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know what that means? That means to have an old-fashioned Baptist fit. That means to jump up and down and click your heels together and shout hallelujah and clap your hands and praise God. Now, somebody did that this morning. I mean, if somebody just took this serious and got happy this morning, there'd be some of you that'd cross your arms and say, that's right, that's what they say. That's not dignified. There's no place for that here. That's not proper. Well, why not? Why not? Why shouldn't we be happy that our sins are forgiven? Why shouldn't we be happy that regardless of what trial and what storm comes, Jesus is there with us? Why shouldn't we be happy when we realize that our name is written in the book of heaven, and when we die, we're going there? Why shouldn't we, our spirit, always be on top? And why shouldn't we always smile? Why shouldn't we always laugh? And why shouldn't we always have a merry heart? We should have. That verse says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And my dear friend, if you're here today and you've never had your sins forgiven, you can have them forgiven. You can get this merry heart that we're talking about. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you don't have a merry heart, you can get one too. You can get one when you realize, regardless of what Satan brings your way, your Savior's there beside you. And in the end, you're going to heaven. Have a merry heart. Have a merry heart. Be of good cheer. Have that merry heart that doeth good like a medicine. Father, thank you for this prescription.